Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
All right, guys, here we are back in the jungle. It is the Sklungle. I'm Randy. He is Jason. We are the Sklar Brothers. And oh, man, do we have a lot today.
You know, Rand, I look forward to doing these shows so much.
Me too.
Even if there was nothing going on in the world of sports. And oh, man, there's a lot going on in the world of sports. So we're going to get into it today.
This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience, Jay.
We got John Jansen.
John Jansen's going to be here. And I'm
talking college football.
He's been on the radio for 4 hours in Detroit this morning talking college football. He does a great podcast, In the Trenches and Conquering Heroes. And he lives this stuff. And Breezy does college football on Sirius Radio. So talk to him at 10. We're going to talk to Gar Reines, the batting stance guy, going to talk about baseball and kind of where...
Gar Reines, the only guy we know who last year, beginning of the season, predicted the Nationals would win.
He came on our podcast last year and predicted that the Nationals would win, and he was right. And we played that clip back on our podcast. It was amazing.
Ran it back.
So we'll talk to him about the world of baseball. Rex Chapman, the king of Twitter. Rex Chapman came and did our podcast, and... You cannot not fall in love with that guy. That dude is so honest about himself.
He's honest, open, funny, and cool.
Yeah.
And the guy has been to the mountaintop. So, and he's had tremendous lows as well and is open about that. So he's an amazing guy. He'll talk NBA with us.
And I mean, we did have him on our podcast recently, and we made the Rex Chapman joke to him. That we made, I believe, on this show years ago when he stole all that stuff from the Apple store. We said
that's he should get credit for those steals.
Right.
They should go on his record.
I mean, he was never a guy known for steals. He could jump and he could shit.
That's 14 steals.
He laughed so hard at
which
that.
Which shows you how generous and amazing he is. He'll be on the show hour three.
Yeah. Christoph Waltz. I don't know if you know this. Huge NBA fan.
You're going to find out how much in the next segment.
So lots going on. And then we've got takes about... Twitter beefs between Paul George's girlfriend and
Damian Lillard's sister. We got Draymond Green getting fired for telling.
Getting fired.
Or not fired, getting but fined for telling Devin Booker to move from Phoenix.
Get out
which
of Phoenix.
I think only had to do with him wanting to stick it to Charles Barkley. But
maybe. We'll never know. They don't like each other.
We'll get into that later.
We got a snooker take later.
We got snooker beef up in this piece.
When there's snooker beef, we will be there to squash it. Side pocket.
Out of the gates, though, I think we have to talk about the biggest news right now, which is...
The snooker beef. Let's get into it right now.
Let's dive right in. The thing that's on everyone's mind, which is the fact that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have canceled their seasons, or at least postponed them perhaps to the spring.
They say postpone now. You don't know if that's just to sort of quiet the masses.
Of course, the SEC still playing. They would play through a gunfight. Look, if you look deeply... If you look very closely into the deep background of Mad Max Fury Road.
I haven't seen that movie in a while.
Deep in the deep desert.
Yes.
You can see Auburn doing a spring practice.
Full pads?
Yeah.
Full pads?
Full pads.
Someone flying off a motorcycle coming around doing a...
Oklahoma.
A wheel route. Literally on a wheel.
SEC will play. They're going to play. ACC is going to play.
Big 12 is going to play.
Big 12 is going to play. A lot of questions are now being opened up.
They say they're going to play. They say they're trying to figure out a way to play. We'll see if they play.
We'll see. You know, and there's a lot of people are coming down hard on against the Big Ten for canceling the season.
And the Pac-12.
A week after they released their schedules.
Yeah, why be so confusing and why?
What's the new information?
New information has come out? And they're saying I've been watching so much. I watched... You know, the AD from Ohio State spoke very eloquently about it. I mean, this is
Jim Harbaugh's letter out to the world in an explanation of how well Michigan has been able to do, like multiple tests, zero positives. You know, they're taking it very serious. They have a business-like approach to it. But the issue is not all schools are in one uniform system. And this is the beef. This is what we have. Okay. Randy and I talked about this. We talked about this with Adam Hawk before the show. As soon as the Big Ten canceled as soon as all college basketball, as soon as the NCAA canceled the NCAA tournament, the biggest event in college basketball and arguably one of the biggest events in all of college sports, aside from the college football playoff, as soon as they canceled it in March,
NCAA should have been like, how are we going to save college football?
That's the next thing that comes
April
out of their mouth.
April 10th, you're literally all hands on deck. How are we going to now save college football? Because we just had to cancel the biggest tournament of the year for us. How are we going to do this? So here's what you can do, because it's not like the pandemic crept up on us last week. And it's not like the country is handling the pandemic correctly. So you know you're in trouble. So what you do is, you say there, you do the way that Michigan has been handling it. Give them as an example. They've had zero positive tests in the last several weeks.
They have a business-like approach. They say right now, if you have any positive tests, your program's in trouble. You might not play football. All right? And we're going to have an outside testing source so that
you don't get to police yourself, Colorado State. You don't get to say, shh, don't tell people you have symptoms. You have
cough in the other direction and don't tell anyone.
You have an outside testing company or an outside NCAA sanctioned testing people in every program doing these tests. You have to have 3 weeks of no positives and then you can play college football. Why was that not put in place back in April?
Raise the consequences and you'll see that teams will comply.
Because the NCAA has the worst, weakest leadership ever. Like, there should be uniform across college football.
The fact that you have three Power Five conferences that are saying right now, Randy, they're saying we're going to play. And you have two Power Five conferences saying we're not going to play. Should tell you how the lack of overall oversight and unification within the NCAA, how weak that governing body is.
And by the way, if you're getting mad, don't get mad at the Big Ten and don't get mad at the Pac-12. Get mad at the NCAA for not handling this back in April.
Get mad at Mark Emmert.
You think just by saying, hey, I trust what the Big Ten and the Pac-12
are doing. If they're doing this in the spirit of protecting the kids, then you can't really argue with them and you can't really get mad at them. You can say maybe in hindsight down the road we may look back. SEC may pull off the season. ACC could pull off the season. Kids could be fine. And we can say, okay, wow, that was an overreaction. And that sucked. All right? But they're doing it in the spirit of trying to protect kids. And
if you're calling people who support that not fans, what are you saying? Are you saying that we're not fans? We're the biggest college football fans ever.
Nobody is more depressed about the fact that the league that we're rooting for, the team that we watch, is not going to be playing this fall than Randy and I.
Do you know what fall looks like for us as college football fans?
Monday, I listen to a podcast about Michigan. Tuesday, listen to another podcast. Wednesday, start watching highlights of old games against the team that we're playing.
Like Jay's watching film. Like he's watching film. He's doing film study.
Saturday morning, we get together at Randy's house. Kids, family, hanging out, watching the game. It's an event. It's something we look forward to. If Michigan wins, then hell, I may watch another college football game later that afternoon.
And then later that night, watch the cut down of the game you just saw earlier to rewatch it again.
And then we're back on it again the next day. Listen to the podcast Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and we're waiting for it again. That is my entire fall. I look forward to it more than anything. And this is the thing. This is the thing that bothers me the most, Rand. Here we are. It's 2020, and there's an assault on having complicated feelings. I have complicated feelings about this. Why are we at this point in history where you're either one side or the other? Choose your sides. Pick your teams. Why can't we say to ourselves, okay, I'm conflicted about this. I'm sad that college football won't be coming back. It bums me out.
But I also want the kids to be protected. I think you should be cautious. I don't think, and I love Lou Holtz. I met Lou Holtz. I think he's a great guy. I think he's an unbelievable analyst and was one of the greatest college football coaches of all time. But for him to come out yesterday and say that it's like storming the beaches of Normandy, college football,
there's going to be some casualties.
Really? Casualties? People who go off to war think they're going to die. They're like, there's a great chance that I'm going to die. People who go play college football do not think they're going to die. That does not enter their brains. And that's ridiculous to even say that. I mean, you want to say, oh, there's just a couple casualties. Say it to the parents of the kid on Maryland who died a few years ago because he was worked too hard in a summer practice. Okay. And once that happened, by the way, that had ripple effects all throughout college football to the point where there are medical staff now at every practice.
Yep.
You've got to take water breaks. You got to check in with the kids to see if they're okay. That changed everything. One kid dying. So you're just going to be like, nah, there's some casualties. We may lose some kids. Don't say that, Lou. You're better than that. You're better than that. So you got to protect the kids. And we believe that. And we're still mad. I'm pissed. I want college football. As a Big Ten, I want to watch my team play this fall, but we can't because you got to protect these kids.
And we are in a situation right now where you're looking at these teams and you're looking at the responsibility that's put on these kids without having a plan, without having a bubble in place. Look at professional leagues that had Major League Baseball. How's it working out for you, Major League Baseball?
Major League Baseball. These are guys, players that are getting paid. They're adults. And still, and the game is important to them. And still, a bunch of Cardinals allegedly went to a casino when they shouldn't have gone to a casino, which is the least clean place in the world.
Yeah, you can get syphilis just from hanging out at a casino, alone coronavirus.
It's literally like hanging out with a bunch of koala bears. All right? So it's like you just...
So that's happening there. They don't have a bubble. Even the NBA bubble.
The NBA is doing it better than anyone else. And still, they grant Lou Williams a chance to go for his friends, his mentor's funeral. And what does he do? He stops by a strip club and takes a picture with a white rapper while he orders wings. There are so many things wrong with that. Every choice he made,
including being with a white rapper.
Every decision he made was wrong. And this guy is in the bubble and they're doing everything right. So I'm saying college kids who are not getting paid, they want the college experience. You think every single college kid is going to handle this correctly?
I don't.
They're not.
It's not possible.
And for every team that's doing it right, you've got the Nebraskas of this world going, we need a full stadium.
What if we have 90,000? We can do it. No, you can't. You can't. What is the goal? The goal to me, it's easy. I want to see my team play another team, and if I can watch it on TV, I'll watch any competition right now. I'm watching NBA games in the bubble, and I'm saying, you know what? It's fine. I miss the fans. I miss the cutaway to the crowd shot. I miss all that stuff a little bit, but I like the competition. I like how into it these guys are getting. Giannis is going to headbutt Mo Wagner. And because he's into the game, not because the game is running at half speed and it means less.
I watched the horse matchup between the WNBA players and the NBA players. And what you saw was that why was Mike Conley Jr.'s gym better than Tamika Catching's house? I'm like, can she live in Mike Conley's gym?
I don't know.
It's a great gym.
Mark it down.
Look, the deal is this. The NFL is right behind. The NFL doesn't have a bubble. And you got guys in the NFL who are out there like Matt Light, you know.
Ex-Patriot lineman.
You have attitudes like his in this league. Guys saying, I publicly won't wear a mask. Mm-hmm. He said, quote, you won't catch me out in public covering my face. Claiming that the science proves that there's no need to wear a COVID-19 mask. The science proves that there's no need to wear a mask.
The science proves the other way.
Yeah.
On every level.
It's pretty clear. This is what he said. The science is real clear on masks, right? You mean really clear? Not real clear?
Yeah.
There's no need to interpret it whether it helps save lives or not. It doesn't.
No, it does.
I don't know.
It does.
So it's the simplest thing. You got guys walking around. There's another lineman, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, who is also a doctor, is like, I'm not playing because of COVID. I'm taking myself there. So, Matt Light, you know more than this guy?
Yeah.
You're going to tell this guy he's wrong?
Please. Yeah.
Please.
You're going to tell him he's an idiot?
He's an NFL lineman just like you. Okay? So, right now, that to me is the microcosm of what's going on in football. Okay? So, Duvernay-Tardif is like the Big Ten and the Pac-12. You're going to get mad at this guy? He's a doctor.
Right?
And Matt Light's like, just play, whatever, just play. Don't wear, and I'm not going to wear a mask when I'm out in public. That's the thing. There are people out there who do not take this thing seriously, and it could affect other people.
But why wouldn't you? In the case right now where you're like, your league is potentially on life support for this season, wouldn't you want to do every single thing possible to try and keep it going? Even if you don't believe in it, even if you don't agree with it, wouldn't you say to yourself, give me a second here. Let me do everything possible.
Let me be overly cautious in my regular life so that I can play the game that is a privilege, not a right.
Let me do this so that I can provide something, a distraction to America to help us get through this time.
By the way, the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said last month that he believed the pandemic could be controlled in 8 weeks tops if everyone wore a mask. But Matt Light's got the science.
Oh, thanks.
Just making sure.
Like, had we done this all at the beginning and really socially distanced and really all wear masks and really supported this thing from the get-go, we might be having college football right now without a problem.
You want another Matt Light quote?
I do.
It has no real effect. It makes you feel comfy and warm inside.
I don't know anyone who's ever said that a mask makes you feel comfy and warm. Comfy at all. Warm inside at all. The mask is the metaphor right there. Nobody likes wearing the mask. I hate wearing a mask while I'm exercising. I hate wearing a mask while I'm out. But I do it because, you know what? It's a thin piece of cloth. It's just physics. It's blocking my breath. It's keeping it in. That's why it's uncomfortable.
Keep going, Matt Light.
Keep going.
But maybe it doesn't do anything in the grand scheme of things. It does.
Garbage.
It does. This is the point that we're saying right here. There is a Matt Light. The Matt Light is not on in people's brains.
Right.
And it's out there and people have this attitude. And with this attitude, this is dangerous. And this is how kids can get sick. And we don't know the long-term effects of what COVID does on a kid's heart.
I hope it doesn't do anything.
I hope it's fine. And I hope everyone is safe. And I hope if conferences do play that kids are 100% fine. I want it to be that way.
By the way, let me also say that if conferences play, I'm going to be watching. I'm going to watch. That's how conflicted I am. Not boycotting college football because I don't know if it's safe or not. I will be watching. And if that makes me feel like I'm contradicting myself, it's because I have complicated feelings about this issue.
It's okay to not know. It's okay to have complicated feelings. And it's okay to say we need to put the kids first. It's okay to do that. And then it's okay to be pissed that there isn't college football this week.
When did this become an after-school special? It's okay to have complicated
feelings.
It's okay.
Guys, hug us. It's okay.
You're growing. You're going through puberty.
It's
you're
okay
going
to
have difficult
have complicated feelings.
About
this thing.
You're going to have funny feelings. You're going to want to take long showers.
And by the
this
way,
it's a complicated time.
Also, like, I love that the people in that are speaking about it now and the pundits are saying, there's no way to have a season in the spring. There's no way. You can't figure out any way to have a season this spring. If college football has one, there's no way to do it. So what? The next year's year is so sacred that you can't just chew into that a little bit?
No. Look, there's a way to do anything. There's a way to salvage anything. And I think there's a way, even if like by some chance we come out with a vaccine at a certain point and we feel safe, to fire up the season then.
Yeah.
I think we have to be as nimble as the NBA has been. Mm-hmm. You look at the NBA as the example. Find a bubble situation that could possibly make people safe. You come up with the fact that this wasn't done in April is a sham, and that's what you should be mad
NCAA,
at.
NCAA, if you're listening, you get your people out to test every single school and every team. And if there are no positive tests for a series of weeks, then you let them play.
Step your game up.
Step your game up.
This episode is brought to you by Fracture. Fracture turns your digital images into beautiful glass prints. That's right. They print your photos directly on glass, transforming your memories into handcrafted, frameless prints. Absolutely gorgeous. Beautiful thing to have. Fracture helps you focus on the moments that matter most by turning those favorite memories into beautiful glass prints. Fracture prints directly on durable glass with soft edges for safe handling. And every print comes with a 100% happiness guarantee. If for any reason you do not absolutely love that print, Fracture will make it right. Fracture prints look incredible. You really need to see them to believe it. Upload your photo at fractureme.com/Rome to print your photo today on glass. And we've got a special deal for you listeners. When you visit fractureme.com/Rome and you enter the promo code Rome, you'll get 20% off your order. That's fractureme.com/Rome. Enter the promo code Rome and save 20% off your Fracture glass print. I'm hyped on Fracture, and I do appreciate their sponsorship of this podcast.
Again, we want to come strong with every take, but there are times where you come out and you're like, God, I believe this.
And
but there's
I also
a little part of me that believes this too.
I can't reconcile.
People, that's the thing with sports. There's a winner and a loser in sports. Okay?
It's very easy. It's
very
binary.
It's
a binary situation.
But when you talk about the conditions for sports being able to happen in a current pandemic, it's not that easy.
And I think in the overall beyond sports, in this current moment in our country, no matter what side you fall on, it has become an us versus them, and the gray area has died.
Yeah, we need the gray.
The gray area back.
The gray area is like, and maybe that's Jim Gray's new talk show, The Gray Area. Look, I'll pitch it, man. Jim Gray, wherever you are, it's an interview show.
Either The Gray Area or Gray's Anatomy.
All right. One league that we feel like is getting it right and really getting it right is the NBA. We talked about it last time. Their bubble action is so tight.
Yeah, their bubble game is tight. And
When you got other players snitching on other players for not wearing masks in the bubble and all that stuff, then it's working.
You did it right. And when you got a player, when you got Giannis headbutting Mo Wagner, mm-hmm. and nobody worried about COVID being transferred, you're like, all right, we're all right.
We're doing it. We're okay.
We're okay.
Well, the truth is that there are lots of fans of the NBA.
Unexpected fans.
I didn't know that this guy was such a fan until we started to have him on our podcast. He's one of the greatest character actors of all time.
Academy Award winner.
Quentin Tarantino stable.
Yes. He's in that cast of characters.
He's just amazing. Everything he does. And then he did a series of commercials a while back where he was very American. And I believe either that showed an insight to who he was as a person.
Or it inspired him to get into American culture.
And we're, of course, talking about Christoph Waltz. And I believe he's on the line if we've got him right now. Mr. Waltz, are you there?
Randy and Jason, as always, it's a pleasure.
It is so nice to talk to you. I know this is actually, it's a rough time for the world, but you have your NBA, and I know that makes you happy, sir.
It's amazing that right now the simple things matter the most. And mm-hmm. for me, it's the NBA, and this bubble is... It's really just been a success story.
Well, I know at the beginning you had your doubts, the fact that the bubble would be in Orlando. You initially had pitched out to us taking the bubble elsewhere over to your side of the pond. Can you elaborate on that?
There was an idea that I was floating for a while, which was to bring the bubble to Vienna, Austria, because it's where I'm from. If I'm just being honest about it, was simply more convenient for me because I was quarantining there.
Right.
The numbers were low.
Yep.
They were using the nasal swab,
yep.
even in children, and mm-hmm. no one was complaining about it.
Yeah, sure.
And I thought, this is a great opportunity mm-hmm. to also have a cultural exchange. Maybe the players can listen to opera. Mm-hmm. Maybe they can try these fine pastries that we have that they've never had before.
Absolutely.
You're trying to grow the game internationally, and it is an international game.
I mean, when you think about the international players, talk about a team like Dallas and what their two stars are international stars, and one of them is your favorite player in the league. But talk about how that team is on the rise, especially with role players like Trey Burke stepping up.
If you could see my face right now, I'm smiling so wide mm-hmm. you can't even imagine. Mm-hmm. Because obviously, my favorite Kristaps Porzingis,
sure.
he is the unicorn. Mm-hmm. He has been the unicorn mm-hmm. from the beginning of time. Really, if you think about it, he was such a pioneer in this way.
Yeah.
He was this 7 foot with a wingspan of a condor uh-huh. and this inside-outside game
sure.
that really has now, he is the pre-Giannis, so he's the pre-freak,
yeah.
and here he is, and yes, this is international, don't forget about Boban Marjanovic,
he is
starting to try and take some of my roles from me, now
no.
John Wick, yeah.
No, so can't do it.
This is exciting, and then don't forget about J.J. Barea, Puerto Rico's had such a difficult year,
the
and
tiny
then
giant.
They're representing.
Yeah, he is representing, and of course, Luka Doncic. I mean, can we talk about him?
Talk about the pass.
I mean, if you're going to have a unicorn, you're going to need someone magical to ride that unicorn. And that's
hang on a second.
Who would ever pick this number? He's number 77.
I know, it's so foreign.
You must have big, I know the salmonella outbreak, excuse me for saying it, but you have to have some big onions
that's
to wear
right.
that number. Well,
yeah. And onions that you don't mind passing the ball between. And so he made that unbelievable between the leg pass that
up
was
the middle as he was making a drive. I mean, that might be the pass of the bubble so far.
When I watch this Mavericks team, I look over at the bench sometimes, mm-hmm. and Rick Carlisle has the emotive qualities of a gargoyle, but at the same time, see he's a proud papa.
He is very excited. So they're the A seed, but let's stay out west and talk about the show that Dame Lillard put on. I mean,
motivated
Dame
by the trash
Judy
talk.
Dench has got to stand up and applaud a 61-point performance after a 51-point performance. The dude is out of his mind.
My head is spinning. I can't believe what we're witnessing here. As mm-hmm. you know, in this bubble, there is a code that is occurring, mm-hmm. and snitches will get stitches.
That's right.
But it's important
very
to
good
know
to
that Dame Lillard was called out by Pat Bev on the Clippers.
You know he did.
You know what? He said in the post show, he said, look, I have put this guy out of the playoffs. I've done the same thing to PG. And I will now turn it up a few more notches. And now what we're seeing, I haven't seen performances like this stacked up since Bernard King was on his run.
You like to go back to Bernard. I mean, Bernard King had game that I don't think enough people respect.
He was 50 points automatic.
He was a 50-point bucket-getter extraordinaire, and this is the kind of thing you're seeing from Dame Lillard. It's not so bad to also be able to look over at a suddenly svelte Carmelo Anthony.
I know.
I haven't seen the spring in the step from him since he was playing in the Carrier Dome.
Wow, that's a throwback to Syracuse, and maybe, you know, the bubble is helping him lay off Honey Nut Cheerios, and here he is. He's back, and he's svelte.
I know exactly what you're referencing right there.
Okay.
Good. I know you do. I know you do. So, obviously, those are teams that are exciting, but let's go to the top, and the Lakers are a team that, you know, they're in the first position, but they have not looked so strong throughout the bubble at this point. Some of their weaknesses have been exposed.
And by the way, can I just say before you answer, I love talking basketball with Christoph Waltz.
It's surprising how much you know about the game.
Famous character actor from Vienna, Austria. So please give us your thoughts on the Lakers.
The Lakers, to me, have a lot to prove. Everyone is talking about, well, LeBron, and you know he's a veteran, and he knows how to win in these environments.
He's a veteran.
Let me tell you something. This is an environment that nobody understands. Mm-hmm. This is why you're seeing someone like T.J. Warren suddenly look like he's Adrian Dantley in his prime.
That's a
you
great
can't
call.
You explain what's happening
great
right now.
Call.
And I look at the bench is the key to the Lakers.
Sure, yes.
Are they going to step up? Can we count on a Dion Waiters? I mean, this guy's weight fluctuates like Oprah's.
We
don't know what we're going to get. And then I look at someone like Caruso, and I think, is this guy trying to steal my job? He looks like a Christoph Waltz character. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think we're going to find out if this team has what it takes, because I watched the game the other night, and I look at a team, an upstart team, like this Denver Nuggets.
Sure.
And I see someone like Bol Bol. How can you game plan for a Bol Bol?
You cannot. And if Bol Bol adds any size to him in the next couple of years, the dude is going to be, he's unbelievable. His game is fantastic.
He's got handles. He can pass from.
And he's the future on that
transition
team. And you look at, you talk svelte, you look at a svelte Jokic. I mean, that guy is now ready to play and in game
this
shape.
This guy is on the keto diet. Jokic and Bol Bol, these two guys, and I can't believe they have handles. And then Michael Porter Jr. Suddenly rising from the ashes of terrible knee injuries.
Yes,
this team is one to watch. I think the whole West is up for grabs, and if I'm the Lakers, I don't want to see those Blazers coming at me with Lillard with an axe to grind.
He does have an axe to grind. And maybe
what about the Clippers?
The deepest team perhaps in the West, or perhaps in both leagues, the Clippers.
As you know, our greatest strengths are often our greatest weaknesses.
Great
and
point.
I worry that the Clippers will find themselves in situations where they are relying on ISO type of game plans for their stars like Kawhi and Paul George. And suddenly they become a little bit predictable, two-dimensional. And all of a sudden you're kicking the ball around the horn and hoping that J. Michael Green hits a corner three.
Which is a big
It's putting a lot of weight on his shoulders. And I would think that a team like the Clippers would be a team that you, as a character actor, would identify with
and appreciate.
This is a team full of character actors.
Listen, you know, you don't like to see the trash talk in the regular season getting to these levels. At the same time, I look at a Patrick Beverley, I look at this team, and I see sweet Lou Williams, who went to get the wings at Magic City.
Of
By
course.
The way, I've had those wings.
Have you had those wings?
Those are wings worth risking contracting.
No,
stop
virus.
It. No, stop it.
How about taking a picture with a white wrapper? Would you do that? That's something you wouldn't do.
I would not do that.
Okay, thank you. You draw the line.
That's not where my rap tastes lie. It's not about
hang
race.
On a second. I don't want to deviate here, but where do your rap tastes lie?
My rap tastes lie more in the mid-90s.
So
I'm a big gangstar.
I knew you'd
you know,
say gangstar.
Clip.
Okay. Big Pun? Were you a Big Pun fan?
Oh, I love Big Pun.
Of course you did.
Because, of course, and don't forget, you can't have Big Pun without the Beat Nuts.
That's right. That is a great point, and maybe where we should leave this. I know you're excited to watch the playoffs as they start. Just enjoy it. It's a time now where you're not acting because there aren't
any live. Can't do full production.
Can't do that. So kick back, relax. You know the work will come in when the work starts flowing. I hope we find a cure for this so that we can all get back to normal and we can see your beautiful acting on screen. But until then, we'll enjoy the NBA, right?
Let basketball cure what ails you. Enjoy what this is. Spend time with your loved ones and order lots and lots of food and support the people that are driving and leaving things at the door correctly.
Look at that. Christoph Waltz.
Christoph Waltz, thank you for joining with us. A deep dive into NBA and
90s rap.
I mean, if that doesn't say it all, you cannot talk about Big Pun without mentioning the Beat Nuts.
I would argue that Christoph Waltz has as much NBA knowledge as some people who talk about an NBA on television.
Yep.
I would argue that it is shocking to me. I don't know.
I would put Christoph Waltz's NBA knowledge up against Dennis Scott's.
Agreed.
D3. I mean, do it.
The final 22 teams are in Orlando and they're back on the court. Now, while the ending of this year's basketball season will be different than years past, there will not be a shortage of excitement, and there is no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To celebrate the return of basketball, DraftKings will have not one, but two $1 million top prizes through the first 2 days of the resume season, so you want to get in on all the action right now. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy basketball is so easy to play. You just pick 8 players, you stay under the salary cap, and you pile up points for three-pointers, rebounds, assists, and more. There is no better way to put your basketball knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at $1 million. But if basketball is not for you, don't worry. DraftKings is offering plenty of other fantasy golf action for this week's tournament as well. With millions of dollars up for grabs this week, there is no better place to have skin in the game than with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app right now and use the promo code ROME and get a free shot at millions of dollars up for grabs this week. With your first deposit, that's promo code ROME and get a free shot at millions of dollars with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
All right, coming in hot, finishing up hour three, Jay.
Third segment in hour one.
Jesus Christ, what's wrong?
What's wrong with you? We got 3 hours of show today. We got John Jansen next hour to really break down what's going on with college football. Maybe he'll set us straight.
I'm, again, excited to have a full discussion. Sorry about saying hour three. Garrett Ridge just had a heart attack.
He's
on the board.
I think he's had three tiny heart attacks. Let's get into this for a second. Garrett Ridge walks into the office today with an egg sandwich with basically a sausage patty on it.
Uh-huh. Gigantic. It was an egg on a, not a bun, but I think it was.
It's an English muffin, but still. He's basically eating a burger. He's trying to tell us that it's not a burger.
We're like, that is dinner for breakfast.
Game on.
Sometimes our kids were like, let's have breakfast today. You literally had dinner for breakfast. So he maybe had three times.
He's like,
heart
no, it's a healthy sandwich.
Oh, dude.
Let's read some tweets.
Shall we?
Chris, no longer in St. Pete, said Jim Rome Sklar Brothers. Can't wait to hear Idris Elba talk about the DH in the NL and Steve Garvey.
That would be amazing.
I love that.
Garvey short shorts. How about this one? Having someone as talented as Christoph Waltz break down the NBA on Rome today shows both his range and your level of respect throughout Hollywood. I have to ask, was Mr. Waltz enjoying a fresh glass of milk during the interview? Bravo. I think he was, and I want to say it was oat milk.
That was wooden laconic.
I love it.
That's
a Jay Stu reference from back in the day. Wooden laconic.
At Sklar Brothers, Christoph waltzed right through that segment. Mr. 68, crying right now. Christoph Waltz is dropping NBA science.
He was dropping so much. He was dropping was dimes, dropping science.
That was Bubba Zanetti.
He was dropping knowledge.
Sklar Brothers didn't realize how much I needed to hear from Christoph Waltz today, AZ in Wisco. I also want to wish a very happy birthday to our buddy Jimmy Acho. unbelievable dude involved with a lot of NFL players in making sure that they get paid.
He ran against Demoris Smith to be the NFL PA
player
representative.
And he's a guy who has fought for players' rights. So he turns 50 today and a fantastic dude. I want to talk about this before we get out of the first hour because we touched on
it. Is it the first hour? Because I'm a little turned
around.
Randy
said third hour.
I meant first hour.
I've been watching a ton.
Is it Southern California or is it South Cal?
I think it's South Cal.
Okay, I think it's South Cal.
I got to say, I've been watching a ton of NBA in the bubble, just like Christoph Waltz.
Me too.
I like it almost as much as Dwight Howard hates wearing masks.
So you're saying a lot. Because that dude does not like wearing a mask.
He loves not being safe. The NBA, it might be one of the scant few.
He doesn't like wearing physical masks. Let's just say that.
Remember a couple years ago when he says, I don't like wearing masks in an interview? Mm-hmm. That was interesting. Mm-hmm. Precursor. NBA may be one of the scant few team sports that we get to watch.
And the NHL.
And the NHL. I see it. I don't know, distinctly different than the regular NBA games, what's happening in the bubble, and I like it. I'm fine with it being different. I feel like the games have been, it's like watching a really great run. It reminded me in Last Dance when Jordan was shooting Space Jam, and then he would have those like insane runs late at night, and you saw the players getting together. It feels a little bit like that. Like
it does.
Getting a behind-the-scenes DVD look at what the NBA kind of is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's fun. Anytime you hear the audio drop for like 8 seconds, I'm like, what are they saying to each other?
Just dropping F-bombs left and right.
Guys are taking it seriously as Lou Williams once wings from a strip club.
Listen, I like the NBA so much, and I have a question. I know there are only two Morris twins, but it feels like they're on five teams right now.
Agreed.
Is that right or wrong?
It does. Here's an interesting fact. What happens in the bubble doesn't necessarily
it does not stay in the bubble. No.
And that is thanks to social media.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Trash talk gets ratcheted up by girlfriends and siblings. They're starting to clap back at each other.
That's right.
Making what we can only guess is already it's kind of an awkward situation in the bubble, and it's got to be getting more awkward every day, okay? Clippers beat down Trailblazers last week, all right, before Dame Lillard went off. And they won that game. That was, and he had a good game, but they won. And then Pat Bev and Paul George from the bench mocked him.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's right.
They copied the goodbye wave. Thanks, Kawhi. And they get that part that he gave Paul George when he sent him home from the playoffs. And
that's
then
right.
Lillard, of course, you know, he clocked that.
He is not going to take that sitting down.
Well, also, I love how calm he is. Like, he doesn't really get like agitated and mad. So he gets on the mic. And he said, I'm not mad at him. Mm-mm. I'm not mad at them for mocking me. It just shows how upset they were
when I sent them home last time.
And then he's like, it's all, you know, essentially it's all about how great I am, which is like super like braggy. And it's also kind of a weird backhanded dig.
Right.
And then Bleacher Report posted Dame's comments. And then, of course,
Pat Bev had to comment. Pat Bev is not going to stay silent.
He is the kind of guy that if he's on your team, you love him. If you're playing against him, you do not hate a player more.
He's a human troll.
Everyone hates him. So, of course, he's going to troll Lillard on the Bleacher Report post, which is kind of funny because Lillard didn't post it, but Bleacher Report did.
Right.
So he wrote Cancun on three and then three laughing until crying emojis.
Classic Bev IG moment.
That's a great comment by him. Then Paul George chimes in and says, and you getting sent home this year. And then laughing until crying emoji. And then he wrote respect with a power fist emoji, which I don't know that.
Did he respect?
So that I was like, is that sarcastic?
We need a sarcastic font in our social media.
We do. So Lillard then wrote back at George. Okay, so this is all happening, and they're living together.
This is so great.
Keep switching teams, running from the grind. Your boys is chumps. And I think it's our chumps, but he wrote his chumps. Okay, I don't know if I'm totally wrong here, but like I said, they're living in the bubble. Right?
You're going to the same cafeteria where Dwight Howard is not wearing a mask. Okay?
Are they seeing each other at the steam room, at the hotel lobby, at the Epcot pool?
Yep. Like,
is this a bad idea to beef it up under the Ran? I'm asking you.
Can you beef it up in the bubble?
And we all know the phrase, you don't crap where you eat.
That's right.
That means you don't hook up with someone at work, right? And I would say you don't start crap where you eat.
You don't start crap in a bubble.
You don't escalate stuff in a bubble because you're living there among these people for a while. I mean, it's great for the game. I actually like the beef because I think now the next time they play, it's going to ratchet up and you can't wait to see it.
That's right.
But now you got other people chiming in.
Lillard's sister.
Lene got in on the act by calling the Clippers point guard Beverly and George's longtime. He called out Beverly, and he called out George's longtime girlfriend, Daniela Rajic.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I said, or this is what she wrote. I said earlier I was going to let that whole Paul George
blank
go and Patrick Beverly because everybody knows how my mouth is, how my mouth can get. Who'd you say that to?
Who'd you say that to?
And by the way, this
everyone knew it. I didn't know it.
Lene, I'm just going to say this to you. This is the first time I'm hearing about how your mouth can get.
That's right. But you've got our attention. Continue, please.
She said via footage from the NBA Central Daily, because you can't talk, you got a
blank
stripper pregnant.
Okay.
Now we're getting away from basketball.
Now
she said, so she.
Are we talking about wings? What are we talking about here?
Maybe she's on the topic of scoring.
Mm-hmm.
But now, we got to get this info into the argument.
Yeah. Bleacher Report is like, we don't even have the resources to put this beef in the thing.
Well, now, then, George's longtime girlfriend claps back at Lillard's sister.
Uh-oh.
Rajic responded to Lene's comments on her Instagram story. Somebody got to get this cow at Lene Lillard.
Okay. Someone. Uh-oh. Someone come get this cow. That is.
Somebody come get this cow.
I want to put these two ladies in a bubble themselves.
Get them in their own bubble.
Dana White, take them to Fight Island.
I kind of like how. I love how passionate these guys are.
To pick up the beef
outside the bubble.
Yeah.
But somebody in the bubble needs to be like, hey, cool it, man. We live together.
Yeah. By the way, Pat Bev doesn't need help getting under people's skin. He can do that on his own, but you now just gave him motivation.
And he also doesn't need sticking up for.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's Pat Bev. And Lillard, I think, very clearly wants to keep everything on the court.
Yeah, wants to be about his game.
So I think, Rand, and I'm not joking, like, there's no mistake that he dropped 51 to 61 because I think this is his way. Like, you're motivating. A guy like this gets motivated by
stuff
like this.
That's his tweet. 61 is his tweet.
So now, you know, thanks to social media, I think you got to get on a Zoom call with all your relatives and all your friends.
And
like,
just say,
cool,
stay off social media.
Just get off.
You can retweet Rex Chapman, but nothing else.
It's like that crazy uncle who learned how to suddenly do Snapchat. You just got to get him off.
Get him off. Because people can screen grab all that stuff. Do you understand? Trash talk is part of basketball on the court.
It gets heated on the court. We get it. All right. Just don't believe us. Like I said, check out how many times the sound drops during an NBA bubble game.
Yeah, their sound is perfect. There are no technical difficulties.
Right. They're just dropping sound because they're like, oh, we can't put that in.
And I wish there was a channel where we could hear it. I wish there was like a paid channel.
Like
where you could
HBO
just hear,
Sports
You just
channel.
Hear all of it.
Those aren't technical
And it's fun because the guys are going hard at each other physically. That all gets muddled when your sister goes after the guy's girlfriend.
And then she comes back at you. I say to those people, it's not your fight.
That's right.
This is not your fight. But in some weird way, also like that it's ratcheting things up a notch.
Here we go.
Because here we go. The bubble barrels towards the playoffs. And you got a guy like Lillard out there who's saying, I'm going to prove myself.
Just give him more fodder. Give him more fodder. All right. There we go. Hour one is down in the books. We done it. We done did it. We have our guest on the line right now. I'm very excited to talk to him. At the top of the show, we talked deeply about how conflicted and sad we were, but just we are conflicted. We can hold many thoughts in our brains at one time. About
maybe he can help us sort some of them out.
The Big Ten and the Pac-12 and the MAC and all that stuff, basically postponing their seasons. This is a man who talks and lives college football. He does a great podcast in the trenches. He's got a new one called Concrete Heroes.
He's on Playbook, which is another
on
great
Sirius Radio. And he
played
one of the greatest college linemen ever to play the game, certainly at the University of Michigan, and then went on to have a decorated and fantastic pro career with Washington and many other teams. John Jansen joins us. John, how you doing, buddy?
Well, good and bad.
Right, of course.
Good because, hey, I'm smiling this morning. I got a chance to wake up and see my daughters and my son and my beautiful wife.
Yep.
Bad because we all know what happened yesterday. We lost a passion.
Yep.
For a little while. And, you know, when I say we lost the passion, it's postponed, right? And whether it's postponed to the winter or spring, whatever you want to call it, depends where you live in this country,
mm-hmm.
or it's postponed till next football season, it will be back. And it's just frustrating to know that maybe there was more we could do, But yeah, we don't know what that is because there's very little information the decision makers are sharing with us right now.
Here's my question, John, and I know you'll appreciate this too. It's not like this just happened last week that we found ourselves in this situation. They canceled the NCAA basketball tournament last March. Shouldn't that have been the moment that the NCAA said, okay, let's
how do we save
college football right now?
Well, there's a lot that goes into an answer like that. And first is, you know, yes, we had some time. We had 5 months mm-hmm. to try and figure this out, which the first couple of months you would think, hey, we have to learn more about what's going on as a country, right, as you know, those that are in charge of trying to, you know, the safety and health and welfare of our student athletes, right? We have to figure out what we're dealing with.
Correct.
And then you have to figure out, okay, now we know a little bit more. Let's use this information that if things don't get any better from May until August, how do we create an environment where we can move forward, not hit the pause button on everybody's life, but find a way to live with this virus or to come up with a protocol or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
That is the disappointing part, is that we did have time. It wasn't like when basketball was canceled, we were shocked. We were surprised because we didn't see it coming.
Right.
This has been coming for 5 months, and it feels like we were very unprepared for it.
And yet there are schools like, and obviously you have a closeness with and you have a deep connection to the University of Michigan and what they've been able to do, and zero positive tests in the last couple rounds of testing. And there are schools that have put a lot of time, a lot of money and effort into making sure that they are as clean as possible with regards to this. And you got to feel for those programs because they're kind of being brought down by a lack of uniformity across the NCAA.
And it highlights the need for, one, better leadership across all forms of athletics here at the college level. But you also have to have somebody in charge of it all. Mm-hmm. And the Power Five is separate from the FCS. It's separate from some of the other divisions. And if that's going to be the case and they can operate differently, then somebody needs to be in charge of the Power Five. You need to have that commissioner. And if for nothing else, that in the future, if you are faced with a decision like this, that there is, you're not looking at one medical board that is making decisions for the SEC, one medical board that's making it for the Big Ten. And there seems to be a lack of communication between them, but there's, and I don't even know if it's a lack of communication, but it is the lack or it's the difference in which they interpret the information. And that's really
the thing. That's the thing.
You have the disconnect.
So, John, I mean, you played and you played for 4 years at University of Michigan. You're a player in your heart, and you know what these players are going through, getting ready for a season like this. You know, the off-season workouts now for players and things that players do to train to get ready, probably more than what you guys even did back in the day. So they have invested so much time and effort and energy and trainers and this and that to try and get ready. You know they want to go. And especially in a program that has kept it clean, they want to go and they want to play more than anything. But as a parent, as a father, the conflict comes when you're like, Jim Harbaugh sits down in a living room with a family and the parents are like, are you going to take care of my kid? That's the biggest question. We're not going to be around him. Are you going to take care of him? That has to supersede everything. That's how this is complicated.
Well, and I'll give you two stories, and I hope I don't take up too much.
Go for it, buddy. You're here. This is why we're here with John Jansen. Go ahead.
When I was being recruited back in 1993 and 94, mm-hmm. my dad, and I'll never forget this, when I committed to the University of Michigan, we sat down and we talked about it, and he said, you know, you're 18 years old. You're going to have to start making some decisions for yourself, but mm-hmm. you will always be my son. You will always be my child. And you are going to go to a university. You're going to play football. You're going to experience a lot of different things. You're going to have to make a lot of different decisions that I won't be able to be there to guide you in. The phone is always there, but I won't be there physically.
Mm-hmm.
I am very, and this is my dad's talking, I'm very comfortable sending you to the University of Michigan, where you have Gary Moeller, you have Lloyd Carr, you have Jim Herman, Mike DeBoer, Terry Malone, Bobby Morrison, Soup Campbell. You could go right down the list. I am comfortable because I've had a chance to get to know these men, and they have the same values that I have for you.
That's right.
And so that was me as a recruit. And now I'm looking at Jim Harbaugh in the midst of a pandemic, and I don't know how things are done elsewhere. I do know coaches. I talk to them. Mm-hmm. But in regards to what Jim Harbaugh did, he, on a weekly and sometimes daily basis, would have, you know, everybody talks about the Zoom calls and all this stuff. He would have those calls with as many parents as could be available at that moment.
It's big.
And he would continue the conversation with them, wanting to know what their concerns were, wanting to hear from them. What protocol are in place? Because amongst those, parent groups, you've got Chris Hutchinson, who was a teammate of Jim's. He's also former captain of Michigan All-American, but he is now an ER doc here at Beaumont Hospital in Detroit.
That's right.
So you've got people that are qualified to give you advice, not just as a player, not just as a, as a dad, but mm-hmm. also as a doctor.
Yeah.
And so he engaged the parents as much as he possibly could, because even though these kids are adults and they can make decisions for themselves, they will always be their kids. They will always be their children, and they want to be informed, and they want to feel like they have say in what is going on. I thought Jim did a great job of doing that.
But it's not those programs that you're worried about. It's the athletic director at Nebraska saying he wants a full stadium. It's the Colorado State football program saying, don't tell us if you have symptoms.
Cough into your arm and don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anyone you've got. We're going to keep that quiet and not report it. Those are the things that bother and that upset, and should upset parents whose kids play.
You're 100% correct, and it comes down to protocol. It comes down to, and this gets back to the initial question that you asked me, across college football, and due to whether it's just the fact that there was nobody that even had the power to do this, of instituting protocol that you would have to follow, so that whether you were in Ann Arbor, you were in Bloomington, Indiana, you're in Tuscaloosa, you're out in L.A.,
right.
You're up in Boston, it doesn't matter. We know that everybody is following the same protocol, and it needs to be a third party that does it.
So absolutely.
Not somebody the coach could say, let's lose that sample.
Right.
And that's where
that's
you need the leadership, and you need that position of power to say, this is how it needs to be done, and this is how we're going to do it everywhere.
Let me ask you a question, John, about some of the players who, if we don't have a season, this was going to be their final season. Are we talking about a possibility of guys perhaps transferring to leagues that are going to play? Like, take a look at it, and this is a crazy scenario and thought, but a guy like Justin Fields, if he's not playing at Ohio State this year, the year that he could have perhaps won a Heisman Trophy, who's to say he doesn't go down to LSU and play quarterback for LSU or something like that? I mean, have we opened up perhaps a can of worms that may not be able to be put back in right now because some leagues are playing and some aren't?
There's no question. And that could happen. There are some eligibility rules that would have to be worked through, and the waiver process, all that stuff. And it brings us back to players' rights. Should mm-hmm. they be able to transfer and be immediately eligible, one time, maybe twice during their career, or is there an exception because it's a pandemic? But you also go further down the road and you think about recruiting.
Yeah.
Well, the Big Ten did this and the Pac-12 did this in 2020. The SEC played, the ACC played, the Big 12 played, there becomes a disparity that may already be there in a lot of minds across the U.S. of where the talent is going. Now you increase that by the fact that there's no uniformity in college football.
Unless some kids get sick, and then that works to the other people's benefit where they're saying, we protected you, where they didn't care. They cared about money. They didn't care about, you know what I'm saying?
Which, like, no one is hoping for.
No, I hope everyone's safe.
I hope everyone's safe. I hope that we don't have to have that conversation. And if the worst is we're trying to argue about, recruiting in 5 years and trying to come back from, the SEC played and the Big Ten didn't, I'm okay with that conversation.
Sure.
but it also comes down to an assumption of risk. Mm-hmm. There is an assumption of risk when I walk out my front door. And for the better part of two decades, there was an assumption of risk when I walked in the locker room, put on my pads, and walked on the field. You have a choice as to whether you want to take that risk or not. Mm-hmm. You throw in a pandemic and you throw in a coronavirus.
And the risk goes up.
We're starting to learn more about it, but we don't really know enough, mm-hmm. or we don't know as much as some would like, then it still should, in my opinion, come down to the individual. Mm-hmm. And we have heard from commissioners, we heard from Mark Emmert, we heard from athletic directors, coaches, hey, if you're not comfortable, you can opt out. And we saw, you know, about 40 guys do that out of 12,000 kids.
Right. Big names, too.
At some point, you have to be able to make that decision for yourself.
Right. So let me ask, because we did talk about, and you very clearly mentioned at the top, that there's a possibility that it happens, the season happens in the winter or the spring, depending upon where you are. And I know there's a lot of talk about, wait, we don't want to eat into the next college football season. We don't want to eat into that, the year, where it starts and the timetable. Why is that such a pristine thing? Why, you know, we're in crazy times right now. I mean, we should be able to bend and manage that too.
Isn't some football better than no football?
Well, yes and no. And right now we're kind of in limbo for a lot of the same reasons we talked about. What happens if, you know, the SEC does go ahead and play in the fall, mm-hmm. and yet the Big Ten is going to try and play in the spring? Those athletes, and then throw into that the NFL.
Sure.
Because every kid wants that opportunity. I wouldn't say every kid. A majority of the kids would love that opportunity to be professional athletes. Mm-hmm. What do they do with the combine? What do they do with the draft? If the SEC plays their full schedule or part of it, and those kids are able to prepare for the combine when it happens, yet you can't in the Big Ten, you can't in the Pac-12, that completely changes the conversation. And then to make it even worse, what happens with eligibility? And right. and then if we don't play in the spring or the winter, what happens with eligibility at that point? There's just so many complications of trying to make that happen that, yes, there, to me, any football is good football.
Right.
And I don't care what time of the year it's played.
That's right.
I don't care how you have to play it, what you have to wear. I think any football is good football. But there are so many obstacles to overcome. And right now it's mainly complicated by the fact that we still think that there may be some teams that play this fall.
We'll see if that happens. We will see if that happens. And everyone has to be safe in order for that to happen. But I'm not convinced that there is going to be football this fall. I just am not. I know that places want to go full steam ahead. But I really do think in the end, it will be about the safety of the players first and foremost. And so, I mean, look, this may be the time, and we can talk about this too as our last thing we can talk about here, for players to organize. You know, the players don't have a voice. You were a college player and you were a pro player. You didn't really have a voice as a college player. Do these players need a voice to have and sit at the table and have their feelings be heard?
They should. They most definitely should. And they are starting to be heard. But I tell you what, if they want to be heard even louder and they want to still play, what's wrong with trying to file an injunction and say, hey, hold on a second here. We could still hit the pause button and see what happens in a couple of weeks. And don't think that it's just a matter of liability in case somebody were to get sick and somebody were to die. Yes, there is liability there. But what about some of the lawsuits that may come from players that said, hey, you have harmed my future potential earnings?
Mm-hmm.
This is where we're at right now as well, because there's no answer is a good answer.
Right.
And there is no right. And quite honestly, I don't think there's a wrong,
mm-hmm.
Because it's a lose-lose situation.
Right. And look, I'm hoping that things get figured out to a point where we can see some football in the winter or the spring from the Big Ten and the Pac-12 and the MAC and all that. That to me would salvage it in some way. If I knew that that was going to happen, this wouldn't be as much of a blow. But, you know, we love college football and the fall and all the pageantry that comes along with it. We love it as much as anybody. But at the same time, we want to make sure this thing is being done correctly.
Well, let me ask you guys a question.
Sure.
I know you guys are probably up against the break, so I'll make it quick.
It's okay.
Would you rather have a full 2021 fall football schedule as it's already on the calendar, or would you be willing to modify that so that you could get a handful of games in what we're calling the spring football?
I would be okay with modifying it as long as I knew that we got games. I would be okay with it. And if I knew that everyone could follow the same protocols and know that it was safe and know that, like, it's the kind of thing was outside tested and that we knew people could have zero positives, so that we know when we know those guys get on the field that they're going up against people who are clean.
It's like watching NBA games. We're not worried because we know everyone has been tested in that bubble. What I would say is the modified schedule that the Big Ten released last week, to me, was an interesting and very cool schedule. The crossover games were great. There were built-in moments of, hey, if we need to take a step back. I actually thought it was a very well thought out schedule. If that was the schedule that appeared, something like that in 2021, and you get a few games at the beginning of 2021, I'm down with that. How about you, Jansen?
I am, and I'll tell you what I'm down with. If we get to January 1st, and who knows what we're talking about at that point.
Right.
Who knows if there's a vaccine or if there's a better way to treat it when
right.
somebody does get it. That's the wild card.
Mm-hmm.
But when January 1 rolls around, I tell you what, I am going to throw one of the best parties, and you guys are my first two invitees.
You get it. We're there.
We'll be there for you,
buddy. Let's hope it happens, and let's hope we do get football. Thank you for bringing some clarity to this discussion with us.
You can check him out on In the Trenches is his podcast. His other podcast is Conquering Heroes,
which is great.
You can hear him on Playbook. John Jansen, thanks for joining us,
buddy. @JohnJansen77 on Twitter. Am I right, John?
Follow him. Yep.
You nailed it.
Dude,
I appreciate it. Thanks for your time, fellas.
You're the best. Keep doing what you do. All right. There you go.
That
clarity.
Some things up.
Yeah. I couldn't say the word clarity. That was my problem. I couldn't say the
that's
word.
That's how unclear you are.
That's
in this
how unclear
situation.
I am. All right. Let's take a break.
Difficult situation. You heard from the guy right there. He told you we're in a difficult situation. And you know what? This is a mess.
Good night now.